Have you ever felt stuck in your spiritual journey despite years of dedicated effort? You're not alone. Many Christians experience a mysterious plateau in their character development despite faithful church attendance, Bible studies, and prayer. What if the problem isn't your dedication or sincerity, but that you've been using only half your brain? This groundbreaking insight explains why so many sincere believers experience transformation that starts strong but fizzles over time. The missing piece? Understanding how our brains are designed to change. Our brain isn't a single processing unit, but a sophisticated dual processor with distinct yet complementary functions. The right hemisphere processes our surroundings at lightning speed, 6 times per second, before the left side even becomes aware of what's happening. This preconscious thought means our character forms primarily in the right brain, not the left. The right brain governs our entire relational life, who we love, how we handle emotions, self-regulation, our capacity for joy, and our identity both individually and in community. Meanwhile, the left brain handles what we commonly consider thinking, logical reasoning, problem-solving, language processing, and theological analysis. Here's the problem. Most Western Christian practices focus almost exclusively on left brain strategies, teaching biblical truths, memorizing scripture, making better choices, while neglecting crucial right brain elements like loving attachments, joy, emotional development, and identity formation. The result? Christians who intellectually believe in God's love but struggle to experience it daily, especially during distress. Our brains run on joy, like cars run on fuel. Joy isn't merely an emotion, but a supra-emotion that combines with others. Even in distress, we can still feel God's presence and joy. Brain science reveals joy is transmitted through faces and eyes, is inherently relational, and vital to both God and humans. Modern Christianity often translates visceral biblical experiences into cerebral concepts, neglecting bodily sensations. Joy's benefits are profound. Trauma counseling incorporating joy dramatically reduces hospitalization rates. Joy regulates emotions and helps us endure suffering while maintaining connection. Jesus never lost touch with his Father's face during crucifixion. His joy sustained him. When joy runs low from insufficient face-to-face connection, we become vulnerable to pseudo-joys, non-relational substitutes that temporarily relieve pain but ultimately disappoint. Churches experience joy leaks, including undeveloped emotional pathways, unresolved trauma, excessive screen time, and narcissistic influences. Hesed, what neuroscientists call attachment, creates spontaneous, loving bonds that transform values and character. Beyond steadfast love, Hesed represents enduring connection that brings life to relationships. Brain research shows identity develops through attachments. Joyful attachments build good brains, while fearful ones create problematic identity centers. When joy runs low from insufficient face-to-face connection, we become vulnerable to pseudo-joys, non-relational substitutes that temporarily relieve pain but ultimately disappoint. Churches experience joy leaks, including undeveloped emotional pathways, unresolved trauma, excessive screen time, and narcissistic influences. Hesed, what neuroscientists call attachment, creates spontaneous, loving bonds that transform values and character. Beyond steadfast love, Hesed represents enduring connection that brings life to relationships. Brain research shows identity develops through attachments. Joyful attachments build good brains, while fearful ones create problematic identity centers. While Western culture emphasizes individualism, our brains develop character through group attachments. Our right orbital prefrontal cortex constantly asks, "Who am I? How do my people act now?" every sixth of a second. Jesus introduced a kingdom identity, teaching followers to see themselves as citizens with distinctive values. The Sermon on the Mount describes this group identity, answering, "What kind of people are we? How do God's people act? Character, our embedded automatic responses faster than conscious thought, transforms not through willpower, but through participation in joyful Hesed communities with Jesus-centered identities. Many Christian communities have underdeveloped group identities, defining themselves by doctrine, activities, or pastoral personalities rather than Christ's character. These shallow identities fail to transform our automatic behaviors. Healthy communities build identity around Jesus' character, not personalities. Leaders must develop robust identity practices that permeate community life, regularly reminding members what kind of people we are. Even in joyful, Hesed-filled communities, we sometimes fail to embody Jesus' character. Correction becomes necessary, but must be implemented properly. The distinction between toxic and healthy correction lies in relationship affirmation. Toxic shame isolates people in their failure, while healthy correction affirms the relationship first, addresses the problem, and reminds people of their true identity. You've forgotten who you are. Let me remind you who we are. Shame, our sense that we're displeasing others, provides motivation for character change. It's a hardwired brain signal indicating, I'm not bringing you joy, and processing it properly protects community joy. Jesus modeled this perfectly. When disciples returned excited that even the demons submit to us, he first entered their joy, then gently redirected. Do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The primary barrier to receiving healthy correction is self-justification, which shields us from the very feedback that could transform us. The depleted soil of half-brained Christianity stunts spiritual formation and creates conditions where narcissism thrives, especially in leadership. From a brain science perspective, narcissism isn't merely self-centeredness, but an inability to process shame relationally. Our brains are designed to metabolize emotions through relational attachments, Hesed. Narcissists, however, process shame non-relationally, viewing correction as a threat and turning interactions into arguments they must win. Narcissistic individuals gravitate toward church leadership positions that feed their sense of specialness and provide power. Communities with low joy, weak Hesed, and poor group identity create perfect breeding grounds for narcissism. When relational circuits shut down, we enter enemy mode, where people become opponents rather than friends. Narcissists operate in predatory enemy mode, tracking others' weaknesses for advantage rather than compassion. Communities with healthy relational soil resist narcissistic influence. Deep bonds of joyful love keep our joy tanks full, enabling us to handle distress effectively. The Enlightenment model of transformation, truth plus good choices plus power, has influenced churches but critically omits love as the primary driver of character change. Without Hesed at the center, transformation fails despite solid teaching and doctrine. Many churches operate with depleted Hesed, functioning more like efficient institutions than families. Despite friendly atmospheres and ambitious plans, these communities lack the deep attachments that drive transformation. Jesus' rebuke to the Ephesian church illustrates this. They had good doctrine and perseverance, but had forsaken the love they had at first. To build Hesed in a community, incorporate it into mission statements and emphasize it in every ministry. Joy and Hesed reinforce each other, forming the foundation of healthy relational soil. Jesus desires a church with healthy soil that prioritizes relationships, creating an environment where transformation naturally occurs. Full-brain discipleship builds on this relational foundation through intentional character training, including exercises to experience God's presence amid distractions. The process begins with increasing joy capacity through gratitude practices and nonverbal expressions. The results are personal. We feel more connected to our bodies, experience God's love viscerally, and find our minds less cluttered. triggering experiences lose their emotional power. A full-brain church functions as an interdependent network of equals, like a family, with elders distributing responsibilities so everyone grows through participation. Today, we have unprecedented opportunities with insights into brain function previous generations lacked. The components of healthy relational soil aren't human inventions, but God-designed neurological circuits taught in Scripture and modeled by Jesus. By embracing both hemispheres of our brain, we can overcome spiritual stagnation and experience true transformation. Isn't it time we stopped trying harder and started growing differently?